said, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour three headlines. Draven, what do you got for me?
All right, so some college football news. UMass, independent.
Who
UMass.
Who gives a damn about UMass? This better be a good headline.
They're playing football in the fall.
That's not a good headline. That is a terrible headline. That is the move on. I don't want to hear another word about UMass. No.
The Minutemen. Come on.
The minute. You already spent a minute on these men, and that's a minute I'll never get back. No. Get out of here.
Poor UMass.
It's a Monday. The U.S. Open just happened. We had a full NFL Monday. College football with the, you know, with the SEC kicking off on Saturday. NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball stretch run. And you open up hour three headlines on a Monday. Not a Wednesday. A Monday with UMass. Please move on before I kick your ass.
UMass is playing football in the fall. Wanted to express that. It just came out. It's breaking news.
Breaking. It's not news. No one cares.
Okay. I bet UMass cares a little bit.
Fans are like, damn it, I wish I'd have to pay attention to this now.
How about some NBA news? So this came out just a couple hours ago. Shams. You know Shams, the great NBA. He keeps us on the inside on the NBA. What's going on? And he came out today. And had a whole reporter, I guess like an article about Paul George. So Paul George, we know he lost game 7 last week, and it was a tough loss. He had a tough game, didn't play well. And Paul George, after the game, apparently this is from Shams again, said, he was trying to, motivate the players. Let's work harder this off season. Let's try to make another run at the title next year. And it was reported that he was met with some eye rolls in bewilderment. So sounds like people are just, or at least the Clippers players organization might be giving up on playoff P just a little bit after he tried to, again, he shot, 4-for-16 in game 7.
We're not trying to hear from Paul George. And like Montrezl Harrell's probably one of those guys rolling his eyes. Montrezl Harrell's in a weird situation because he cost himself a lot of money. But he's a free agent. Do the Clippers bring him back? Like, are the Clippers going to bring Marcus Morris back? They traded a first-round pick for him, so they kind of have to bring him back. But, like, you're not the guy to start preaching loyalty when you force your way to Indiana and then you force your way to Oklahoma City. You're not the guy, like, stay-and-fight guy. Like, what are you talking about? Get the hell out of here. And, like, neither is Kawhi. Which, I mean, I guess Kawhi didn't leave, like, before, like, the mission got accomplished. He won a title both of his other teams. But, like, you know, you guys just, maybe the right message, wrong messenger, I guess. Right. Like, we're not trying to hear from you, Paul George. You're not the leader of this team, bro.
I mean, I guess he's just trying to take over, right? We know Kawhi's not very vocal and probably not going to be the guy that speaks up in the locker room. But, yeah, tough. Tough for playoff P, man. Just not getting any respect outside of his team and doesn't sound like he's getting any respect with his team either. So
whoever leaked that to Shams, though, that's what I'm more interested in. Right? Like, I mean, yeah. Who told Shams, like, hey, we all rolled our eyes? Whenever Paul George tried to talk to us,
very
yeah,
close.
Yeah, like who the hell told some? Like one of the players had to tell him.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so. Pretty much, yeah. Paul George was trying to tell us to keep it up, and no, yeah, nobody responded to that. So we'll see what happens. I doubt they're going to move on from Paul George, but I don't know. It's going to be kind of an interesting offseason for the Clippers.
I'm talking to see if anybody wants Paul George.
The
problem is he's a free agent next year, so like I doubt anybody's really going to trade for him. But
kind of a tough situation.
I would be talking about it.
Right. Some NFL news. Josh Allen. How about Josh Allen's game yesterday, right? He was the first Bills quarterback with 400 yards passing, 4 touchdowns in a game. Back-to-back 300-yard passing games for him, and he was the first quarterback to have three back-to-back 300-yard passing games in 18 years, with a completion percentage of 70% with 6 touchdowns as well. Is Josh Allen, is he taking that next step up to the elite level, you think?
No. To the elite level? No. No, no, no. To tier 2? Eh, maybe.
Where's your tier 2 when it comes to like top 10 quarterbacks? Where are you putting
Josh? My tier 2 starts with Ryan Tannehill at the top of tier 2.
Okay.
At number
right,
6.
Right at 6.
Right
so you
at number
think, 6. So you think Josh Allen is a top 10 quarterback right now?
Yes. Okay. Maybe. I mean, I'd have to think about it, but like, I mean, there's been turnover. Like, I mean, I think last year, everyone, or even heading into this year, everyone would be like, oh yeah, Carson Wentz, top 10. Carson Wentz stinks this year. So mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is gone. Bad. Like, who would you rather have, Josh Allen or Carson Wentz? I'll take Josh Allen.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins was around there too. Like, ah, could he be a top 10 quarterback? Sure, yeah. He stinks right now. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen or Kirk Cousins, give me Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's just some, like, Stafford has stunk this year. I thought he was a top 10 quarterback. He's not. Like, Gardner Minshew, I don't want to say he's a top 10 quarterback yet, but he's had 2 really good games. It's just too early to say that yet. But Josh Allen is on his way to tier 2 for me. But no, not tier 1. Tier 1's the top 5 guys. I've told you my top 5 guys.
Okay. I don't know if I still put Josh Allen that high. Like you said.
You don't put him top 10?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not as high on Josh Allen, but I mean, he beat up on the Jets and the Dolphins. Let's not, you know, throw a parade or nothing. I want to see what he does against the Rams. This is going to be a big game, I think, for him this week.
I mean, that's fine, and I agree with what you're saying, but like Josh Allen was pretty good last year. I mean, he was hovering around the top 12 last year and took them to the playoffs, and he should have won that Texans game, and I'm not giving him the blame for blowing the Texans game. I thought the defense kind of
he didn't lose that fumble.
The fumble. Everyone talks about the fumble. Yeah, he did not lose that fumble. Everyone kind of thinks about him losing that fumble. He didn't lose that fumble where he pitched it to the outside.
But it was still just like, what are you doing, man?
And sure.
Then, I believe at the end of the fourth quarter is when he took a really bad sack. They were in field goal range. He took a really bad sack. I don't. Yeah, maybe blaming Josh Allen isn't fair, but still, there was some bonehead.
Well, that's fine. I'm saying he was good enough to get into the playoffs last year. And he was good enough. That was with John Brown and, you know,
Cole Beasley
as the 2 receivers. Now you have Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. So I want to give him more time with Stephon Diggs now that he has an actual number one receiver. And
it seems like it's working out pretty well so far. I have my doubts.
Yeah. Through 2 weeks, it's early. It's early. But just where the state of the quarterback position is right now, I don't think it's far-fetched to say Josh Allen is in the top 10.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Like you said, still a long season to go. Adam Schefter just tweeted a couple minutes ago, outside linebacker for the Seahawks, Bruce Irvin, veteran player. They already have so many issues, and this guy's kind of a linebacker, pass rusher type. And he just tore his ACL last night, and he will be out for the rest of the season as well. So, man, it was just...
That's a tough loss for them.
Yeah, that is huge.
If I'm them, I'm calling Ziggy Ansah too. Like, hey, Ziggy. Because they needed a pass rusher bad. Like, that's why they wanted Jadeveon Clowney back so badly. And... Mm-hmm. Now they even lost Bruce Irvin on top of that. So, like, that's tough for them. Just one last bit on the Josh Allen. I know it's only been 2 games, but just looking at the passing rating leaders of the NFL, he comes in at number 3 so far.
Okay. Who's number 1, by the way?
Russell.
Okay.
That's Russell's got at 140. I mean, that's unsustainable. Wow. But, like, I mean,
or is
really
it?
Good start. Number 2, Lamar. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Josh Allen. Number 4, Ryan Tannehill, who led the league in passer rating last year. Want to point that out.
Yeah.
Number 5, Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, the top 5, I mean, 4 of the guys I think are really, really good. And Josh Allen's there. Like, I'm not saying he's not really, really good. I'm just saying, like, I know it's early, but, like, the names there, I think, pass the eye test, too, of who's played the best the first 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, you know, I'd probably have, you know,
all those quarterbacks are 2-0, too, right?
Yep. You know, I would be curious where the hell Kyler Murray is. I guess he's down at 83, which doesn't make sense. I guess in week 1, his passer rating didn't look so good because they don't really weigh the rushing enough.
He's also thrown a couple picks in there in both, or I guess 1 pick in each game.
Yeah.
I believe. Speaking of Seattle's pass rush, Darrell Taylor, is he doing anything with the Seahawks? What's going on there? Have we heard anything about him?
Didn't last night.
I haven't seen anything about him at all. So I guess he's just kind of lacking in the depth chart. I'm assuming. Because that was, he drafted 2nd round.
Yeah,
right?
If you're drafting somebody in the 2nd round, you probably expect for them to make an impact. Maybe.
At least get on the field.
Maybe the COVID stuff makes it tougher on these rookies.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see him week 3, though. Like, they're going to have him out there week 3.
All right. And kind of a funny story that happened with the Colts yesterday. So, Darius Leonard, it was some kids in the stands. Indianapolis had a few fans in the stands in their win yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings. And Darius Leonard, he was tossing out his gloves, right, to some kids, some excited kids getting Leonard's football gloves he wore for the game. It was after the game, obviously. And it turned out that his wedding ring fell out.
Ouch.
Into the glove.
Ouch.
In the kid's
wedding ring on.
Yeah, I found that surprising as well. But
dedication to his lover.
You can also have those silicone rings that are maybe a little bit easier, but like that seems dangerous for your fingers.
It does a little bit. I guess the gloves maybe a little protection.
Yeah, the risk it all for love.
Yeah, it just seems a little risky. But Leonard's glove was found in the – or Leonard's ring was found in the gloves, and they end up getting it back to him and returning it. But still pretty – kind of a funny story. You get a couple gloves and you get a ring in it too.
You want this back, you're going to have to pay me a nice little penny for it.
Well, I mean, you get the gloves, right? I guess the gloves are just as –
and I'd like some
gloves
cash.
Gloves are worth like $20. The ring's worth, I would imagine.
No telling. Yeah.
No telling.
All right, yeah, I'd pawn it around.
Yeah.
Sell it back to him.
Any other headlines I get?
Let's see. Any other news? You talked about Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, playing 70 players, and he did say he's expecting everybody to play as well from those 70 players. I thought that was going to be kind of important to note going into the South Carolina game. And
trying to calculate how they even play 70 players.
Yeah, that's what I was curious, because he said he's expecting like almost everybody to play.
Starters.
So I don't know if that's going to be just
double that. That's 44.
Just bringing in bench guys. I mean, just rotating.
You think they're
going to
be? There's going to be more of a rotation with what's going on.
I'd imagine guys aren't in shape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'd imagine your defensive line is going to play 10 guys on it at the very least. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine your secondary is going to play 8. At the very least, and imagine your linebackers will play 4 or 5. I mean, there's, you know, 25 guys already on the defense, right? Or close to it. I mean, not that much, but 20. I kind of lost count. Mm-hmm. If you have a new 11 on special teams, 5 different guys on that for the kickoff team or whatever. I mean, you're already up to, you know, 30, almost 40. Just call it 40. Offense, I wouldn't imagine you have as many guys rotating. You might play 3 running backs, 7 offensive linemen. 8 offensive linemen, maybe.
If that, yeah. Quite a few receivers.
Yeah, and I'd say you probably get up to 7 or 8 receivers.
Still 70 just sounds like a lot.
It does, but if you keep in mind, like, I mean, A, the COVID, so conditioning is going to be worse. Mm-hmm. B, you don't have any penalty for playing guys this year. Like, I mean, there's no need to redshirt. This year doesn't count.
Keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, this year doesn't count people's eligibility, so, like, you can play your second or third string guys and get them reps and get them experience all year. Now, 70 still seems far-fetched, though.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
A little bit.
That seems far-fetched.
Also, one quick note. Chris Godwin, he passed the concussion protocol and will be good to go next Sunday against Denver. So, it was just another little injury update. Another big fantasy player. Ton of fantasy players. Tough day for fantasy guys, right, Hayden?
Who cares about fantasy? When your team is 2-0, Hayden. I don't want to hear another word about fantasy from you the rest of the year.
It's so sad.
Fantasy football just brings you sadness. Why are you playing?
Because I think it's fun. And then it gets to week 2. And then you realize that...
I just told you not to talk about fantasy anymore. You didn't even take it. You didn't even last 10 seconds.
You asked.
It was a setup.
Oh.
And you fell for it.
Bamboozled.
No more fantasy talk. I'll check back in with you on week... I'll check back in with you first thing Monday... On on next week, or maybe Tuesday. I'll give you till Monday Night Football. Tuesday, you could have your 3 or 4 minutes to discuss your team, but that's it. Then I want you to snap and clear. Snap and clear.
I mean, there's not much to discuss. It's not even a team anymore. It's going to be last place. I mean, might as well just put them all on the bench. There's no point.
You can trade them to me.
No, don't do
that. I don't have anybody you would want. They're all gone.
Rest in peace, Hayden's football teams.
No more. That's it. You done? You feel better?
No.
Did you have fun on the draft night at least?
I mean, I guess. They take so long. It's just
this is just a whole miserable experience for you. Yeah,
I mean,
why
the
do you
auction draft that we did, well, you had someone do for you.
Which, by the way, team's 0-2 in there. Whoever drafted my guy intern Andrew really let me down there in the $75 draft. Really let me down.
I'm going to be 0-2 as well.
There you go.
Lost the first week by 0.08 points, and then this week. I'm still in it, but Breeze is going to have a lot of points tonight.
I need to.
How many do you need?
Not too many, just like 25.
I'm glad you pointed that out. My team scored 106 points. 106 points in that league.
My team at 75 right now. The other, it just happens the guy that I'm playing is trash too.
Jeez. Y'all are struggling.
I didn't draft this team, and it was bad. It's bad.
It's got to be better than mine at this point.
It's not much better. I'm kind of with you. But I don't care because the Titans are 2-0. And that's all that matters.
I don't care either.
Good batch of headlines to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment's brought to you by Iris Networks. If you're a business owner, listen up. You schmohawks, I've been telling you for a while now. IrisNetworksUSA.com is where you need to go to find out how you can upgrade your fiber network. Do it with a local partner built right here in Tennessee that can take you all the way around the world. They're bringing ultra-high-speed voice, data, and internet solutions to over 250 communities reaching across Tennessee and parts of Alabama, Georgia, and Kentucky. So you don't even have to be a Knoxville company. You can be in anywhere in Tennessee. You can be in Alabama. You can be in Georgia. You can be in Kentucky. Iris Networks USA, 865-448-IRIS. During the commercial break, I have to listen to Draven talk more about the Cowboys. Does the audience like hearing Draven talking about the Cowboys? Because I feel like I'm over it, but it's also funny to me. He has now stolen Cam's optimism. Cam, I won't say that Cam is depressed by any means, because he's still holding out for 11-5, which is also starting to get annoying to me.
We're going 5-1 in our next six games.
I hope so. 5-3 will be a nice little record. You might get in the playoffs if you go 5-1 over the next six games. But Draven has now talked about now they're going to Seattle to beat the Seahawks.
I'm not going to call the upset yet. Okay,
it's Monday. We'll wait till Friday.
It's Monday. It's early. Too early in the week, okay? I got to see the injury reports. I got to see, you know, I got to break down kind of the film from this past week's game, Sunday night, and obviously the magical game that happened 1 o'clock in Dallas. And, yeah, I think Seattle, who, by the way, has not been – last season they lost a lot of home games, remember? They lost to, if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens at home. If I'm not mistaken, they lost to the San Francisco 49ers at home.
Both teams were better than them, though.
I want to say they lost another game at home. Can't think of the top of my head, but I'm just saying.
They almost lost to the Bucks.
Did, yeah. With that Jameis.
Seattle's home
Bucks.
Field doesn't matter as much, especially with no fans.
No fans.
I mean, that's fine.
So, no 12th man. So, kind of a neutral site game, in my opinion. Maybe not.
I won't call it neutral site.
No, maybe not neutral site, but
the Seahawks will be able to sleep in their bed. So, like, it's not going
to
be a neutral site. One
little
team's
bit
gonna,
closer
one team's
to
be in hotel
site.
Rooms. The other's going to be at their home. So, like, it's not neutral site.
Well, the atmosphere of the game is going to be more neutral site. Anyways, I think that Dallas, which this could be a defining moment in their season, going to Seattle, playing against the MVP Russell Wilson,
sure,
pulling out some magical victory, and there's a little bit, tiny bit of me, guys, that thinks Dallas can go up to Seattle and pull off some magical upset. By the way,
magical seems like a stretch. Like, I don't. You guys are acting like this is like March Madness and you're a 16 seed.
Okay,
like it's
upset, not magical. Probably going to be a magical game, I would say. Maybe
something
like that.
The Seahawks are going to be like 4.5-point favorites, man. Like, this is not like a – you're not some like big scrappy underdogs. Like, it's
a – But you could admit that this would be a decently sized upset.
Sure, but like, yeah, a big upset would be the Jets going to Indianapolis and beating the Colts. That would surprise me. The Cowboys winning. We've already talked about the Seattle secondary, not great. I would hope Dak could go in there and, you know, have a good offensive performance. I mean, hell, they're paying that offense $150 million, so I got to hope they would go in there and be good. The whole salary cap is spent on the offense, so, like, they better go in there and, you know, score 35 or 40 points, but can they stop Russell? I don't know. I'm just – during the commercial break, Draven's over here acting like it's the Miracle on Ice Part 2 coming. No one believes in us.
We're pretty big upset.
We're going to Seattle. You guys were picked to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. What are you talking about? Everyone was picking the Cowboys to be good this year. You're not some scrappy underdogs.
Well, I feel like we're a little bit more.
He's acting like he wasn't favored in the Falcons
game.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
Well, okay, come on. We should be 0-2.
We should
be 0-2. And everybody, if we were 0-2 right now,
people would be saying your back's against the wall and you have to. This is a must win.
Exactly.
Well, I know that doesn't mean scrappy underdog upset. It's just must win. Go take care of business. Season's on the line.
I think it's more of an upset.
I got a text saying I need to start drug testing. I guess they don't like Draven's Cowboys segment. Well, I know the Cowboys are a popular team, so I know there's a lot of Cowboys fans that listen to the show, so they might enjoy the representation. I don't know. I don't know. That's why I was curious. I was wondering. Saints, Raiders tonight. Who you guys got? Saints, I believe the line went from 4.5 down to all the way to 4.
Oh, no.
Money's starting to come in on the Las Vegas Raiders. Ooh, if you go to my bookie, I think it's holding steady at 4.5. So
okay, I'll still work with that.
Saints 4.5 as Las Vegas opens up their first game inside the new space shuttle they have over there.
I got the Raiders covering the spread. I don't quite know if they'll get the win. I'm still leaning like Saints by a field goal.
Okay.
But I think, you know, Josh Jacobs is going to just churn out some yards.
Well, see, that's what worries me, because we had the stat last week that the Saints haven't given up a 100-yard rusher in like 44 games.
Yeah, I don't think they need him to hit 100 yards, though. I think they just need him to run enough to open up the play action, and they'll, you know, use people like Waller and stuff like that to kind of...
Is Ruggs playing tonight? I know he was banged
up.
Questionable.
Game-time decision.
I mean, Derek Carr's been playing good football the last couple weeks, or last week, and then, you know, the end of last year, he was solid. He's okay, I guess. Last year, he was okay. Like he went from being a guy that you definitely are moving on from to, okay, we're going to ride with him a little bit longer. So at least like he feels like a starting quarterback in the league again. I don't know. I don't think Breeze looked good week one. Like I know they took care of business against Tampa, but I don't think he looked good. And I do think the Raiders have enough to cover tonight. Gruden finds a way to cover, I feel like. I'm excited for the game, though. Like, I mean, there's two 1-0 teams. I'm rooting for the Saints just because, like, you know, AFC teams, I want them all to lose constantly. I mean, I know we're above rooting against the Raiders. Like, I'm not competing against the Raiders for anything, but I still want all AFC teams to lose. Just how I get down.
What, the over-under tonight?
49.
I thought it was 48.5.
Yeah.
Sitting at 49 right now on my bookie. Oh,
okay. 48.5 on my bookie.
Hmm. Oh, somebody. I'm looking at it right now and it says 49.
And mine's
on
at
mine.
4, just straight up.
Is my bookie offering us different spreads? What the hell? Because I'm looking right at it. And it says,
just mine says to refresh the screen.
As well.
Yours says 49 as well and 4.5?
Yeah. Let me refresh mine and see if it changes. No, mine's at 4 and 48.5.
It's weird.
Probably about when you click on it, it'll say the odds have changed.
I mean, I don't know.
No, I just clicked on it and did something. And mine stuck with this, but
either way, I guess my bookie knows that I talk bad about the Saints all the time. Well, no, if I talk bad about the Saints all the time, you would think they would give me the worst spread. I don't know. Either way, the Monday Night Football game should be pretty good, though. I'm excited to see the new stadium.
Yeah.
Are the Raiders doing any fans inside Las Vegas? Do we know?
Don't think so.
No.
I don't think any of the teams out west are having fans right now.
Any of the teams out west?
I don't think...
Well, I assume Las Vegas has different rules. They're not California or Seattle. You know what I mean? Like they shut things... California shuts things down early. Seattle was like the ground zero, I guess, for the virus in America. And I feel like Las Vegas, though, they're like, yeah, anything goes.
They're not going to have
they're
any
not
fans.
They don't have any
though,
fans?
No.
Okay. Interesting. I do think it'll be a good game, though. Alvin Kamara. I guess he's. The fantasy renaissance from last year. I guess this is his chance to go back to being like one of those top running backs, especially now with Barkley and McCaffrey out. Kamara had such a good week one. Like maybe he could be that guy this year. Huh? No, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders could have a big game tonight, but I just feel like that Saints offense is going to not be as good without Michael Thomas. I know that's an easy take to have, but I think the Raiders can do enough to hang around.
Same. I agree. I think the Saints lost their last time they didn't have Michael Thomas.
Really?
I can't remember that exact game. But
it was a while ago,
sure
wasn't
did.
It? I feel like he doesn't get hurt very much.
Yeah, I think it was like a year or two ago, but I don't remember when it was, but it is kind of does change their offense because, you know, he's Mr. Reliable for them. So,
wonder if we see any Marquez Callaway tonight. Do we know if Marquez Callaway is active? I mean, is he going to be set to go? Because, I mean, they need receivers. Will he get? Will he benefit, I guess, at all from Michael Thomas being out?
Maybe he'll get activated at least. I don't know if he'll see the field.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe that's asking a lot.
Yeah.
They've still got a lot of.
They'll still, like, put
Taysom
Hill at receiver and stuff,
five
too.
Five receivers still without Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the Monday Night Football game tonight. I'm into it. Well, I'm curious to see what Breeze looks like in week two because, I didn't think he looked good week one and kind of threw the scent off of us because they kept winning and like he didn't have to look good. But I do think there's a chance that he looks bad and we all talk about it tomorrow.
I hope so.
Stick with us. We'll do some winners and losers of the weekend coming up after the break. All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Hayden, please hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cam, who won this weekend as we sit here on September 21st?
All right, my number three winner of the weekend is the San Diego Padres. They are back in the playoffs for the first time in 14 years after clinching their playoff berth yesterday with a 7-4 win over the Seattle Mariners. So I got to give it up for them making it into that. 14 years, that's a long stretch. So big time for them. I guess good for them being back in there. Love to see it.
We do love to see it.
Love to see it. All right, my number two winners of the weekend was the people that bet on the Cowboy Cerrone price fight on the UFC Saturday night. The fight ended up in a draw, which I didn't really know there was draws in the UFC. But like, if you were like me and bet on that fight on my bookie, and I had bet on both guys, since it ended in a draw, you won both those bets. So shout out to the people that bet on that.
You bet on both guys.
Yeah, I was hedging my bets a little bit, but it worked out.
Like just like in two different parlays.
Yeah, I had a couple parlays.
I can't imagine that's a profitable.
I don't do
strategy
it a lot.
To have.
I
okay.
mean, I don't do it a lot, but this one I wasn't quite sure of because Price was the favorite, but Cerrone just had a kid. I was like, I don't know if he's out there fighting for his kid, so I was like, I'll cover my bases and get both. But hey. Turns out it worked out in my favor, and I won both. So if you also bet on either of those guys, no matter what happened.
Did they judge as a win or just a no contest?
They gave us a win. I got a win on it.
Like on the parlay, like for the same amount of odds or just
yeah,
like?
Yeah, like I had the same thing.
That seems strange.
Yeah, but I think it's because they didn't give an option for it to be a draw. I think they kind of have to.
I figured
they
would have kind of canceled it and said no contest and just made your four-team parlay a three-team parlay.
That's probably what they should have done, but.
Oh, shout out to my bookie.
Yeah, my bookie for the people. And my number one winner of the weekend, I got to go with Zendaya, being the youngest actress to win an Emmy for Best Drama Series for that Euphoria show. I think she's also like the second black woman ever to win that as well. So big weekend for her. Love Zendaya. So shout out to her winning that Emmy. Love to see it.
Yeah, she is a queen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My number three, I couldn't give it to one person. I couldn't leave one of these guys off. I think they've both been in similar situations where they're really, really good. They're really, really unique, and people have mocked them and wondered if they had what it took. So I got to give my number three to a split to both King Bryson, my guy Bryson DeChambeau, for finally breaking through his major. Many haters said he couldn't do it. Many scoffed whenever he was trash-talking with the guys that were among the best in the world, talking about how Bryson couldn't even finish top 10 in a major. Well, he finished like second or third, and I guess he finished like third or fourth in behind Morikawa at the PGA Championship. And then he turned around and wins this one going away, winning by 6 strokes. And Anthony Davis, everyone mocked him a little bit, wondered if he had what it took, called him injury-prone. Not only did he not get injured this year, he is now leading the Lakers to up 2-0. In the conference finals, hits a big-time shot, wearing the Kobe jerseys, gets to talk about how he said Kobe after he made the shot. That's pretty cool. Number two for me, I went with Russell Wilson. I just think last night's going to continue the narrative that he is going to win MVP. And I just think him on primetime, putting up that performance, becoming the second quarterback ever to throw for 5 touchdowns against Bill Belichick's Patriots, that's a big-time accomplishment and I do think he is in the lead for narrative when it comes to MVP. And now he's the talk where everyone's like, now we're all doing the thing where no one talks about how good Russell Wilson is. Well, we kind of are. We're acknowledging he's playing the quarterback at a really high level, but he is the talk of the NFL right now. Mr. Unlimited. And my number one biggest winner of the weekend, another tie. I went with Succession and Schitt's Creek. Both those shows getting huge accolades at the Emmys. I would imagine that leads to a boom of people wanting to watch it. Does it make you want to watch the show when they win a bunch of awards? Do you find out? You ever be like, oh, maybe I should watch this? No.
No. I don't like critics' takes. Usually
I just don't watch like the award shows. I don't even know who wins.
I just told you who won.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
That doesn't make you want to go watch it?
No.
Draven, no? Really? It's like when movies are up for like Best Picture, like you don't want to go watch them. Like whenever Parasite dominated the Oscars, you weren't like, you know what, maybe we need to watch Parasite?
I feel like that's more with movies, yeah. I feel that with movies a little bit.
But not TV shows?
Yeah, TV shows.
So like Parasite, though, like they won all the awards, and like the director's up there drunk and being funny, and like they're like, oh, this movie must be really good. It didn't make you like, want to sit down and watch it?
No.
I still haven't seen it.
Cam?
I still haven't seen Parasite either.
What's wrong with you people?
Me and critics usually don't like align on our movie vision, so
yeah.
I usually don't like take their stuff with a grain of salt. It's not like my like, oh man, I really need to go see this now. It's kind of just like, oh, I guess that looks kind of interesting. I'd go see it, but yeah, no, I don't really take them into account a ton. I like what I like. I don't care what they think about it.
Like the last five movies that won Best Picture, I don't think I've even seen. So. I don't think I've seen any of them.
Okay, you guys are...
So, like, did Moonlight win?
You're young. It's fine.
Never seen it.
Cam's just never doesn't like TV either. And movies. He just likes Marvel movies. Stuff. That's pretty much it.
I just rewatch stuff.
Yeah.
I need my little happy moments. I gotta stay in my little bubble.
Yeah.
I watched Into the Spider-Verse yesterday because I needed that.
Okay, never mind. Just forget I asked the question. Loser of the weekend. Who are your losers of the weekend?
All right, my number three loser of the weekend is Los Angeles County. The Bobcat Fire that is burning over there has now reached more than 100,000 acres and making it one of the largest fires in the county's history, so they are still struggling with that stuff over there, so I got to have them on the losers list until they get that thing under control, because, oof, it's rough on the West Coast. I think they had, like, an earthquake this week, too. Like, California's just going through it right now. You hate to see it. But yeah, so they're my number three loser of the weekend. My number two loser of the weekend was people that bet on the Kansas City spread and having Kansas City win by 8 or 8.5, depending on where you got it at. Apparently 94% of people, that's what their bets came in on. And all those people lost. Because, of course, the Chargers covered that spread, only losing by a field goal in overtime. They did not cover the 8 points, so... A lot of people went really heavy Kansas City, which is...
I didn't see that. I saw that everyone had Kansas City in the money line spreads and the teasers, and both of them came through. I didn't see the stat about the 8.5.
Yeah, it's apparently, 94% of betting tickets lost because everybody
just
took the
8.5
spread.
Yeah.
So that was at the William Hill Sportsbook, but...
Whoops.
Yeah. 97% of the money was on the Chiefs winning by at least 9 points.
Jeez. All right. That's tough to swallow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was that your number two loser or number
one?
That was
my number two.
Yeah.
My number one loser of the weekend is the Atlanta Falcons. They made it. We're on the list. We did it. We lost big time. I don't know what they're doing. Except playing Falcons football. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
playing
your, this team is
playing
going
your
to
game.
Rally and
playing your
somehow
game.
Turn around and win a bunch of games in a row.
Yeah. It's what we always do.
Because they're winners. Yeah, that's what you guys always did.
That's what we did last year. That's what we're going to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to start 1-7 this year, so it's going to be better.
Looking like a 1-7 team to me.
That's why you need glasses, because it is not.
Two
like
and
I
six.
Said, we're going 5-1 their next six games.
Okay.
Peep the schedule. It's happening. Okay. But, yeah, they're the number one losers of the weekend. I hope they're running some onside recovery drills this week. Dan Quinn claimed that they do know the rules of onside kicks, which I think they do. They just were... They don't have really good depth
there's
perception.
Not a good they're just not a good coach team. They make bad mistakes. They're not a well-coached team. They have a bad coach.
That's just the Atlanta jinx. It has nothing
to do with. They have bad coaches.
I could be over there coaching.
Can you not even admit that Dan Quinn is a bad coach? You still don't even admit that Dan Quinn is bad?
Let me know when your coach takes you to a Super Bowl. And
he
won't talk about my
coach. 28-3.
But that's I was not, there. When you have not, a lead in a Super Bowl, you can come at my coach.
That is not a positive. If you blow a 28-3 lead, that is not a positive. That is not something you should bring up.
But you got
he
a lead.
He blew
in the
a
Super
28-3
Bowl.
Lead in the Super Bowl. That is not a positive.
I think getting a lead in the Super Bowl is a pretty decent positive.
I think when you blow a 28-3 lead, it's not something you brag about. It is something you do not want to bring up.
I wasn't talking about the losing it part. I was just saying we had it.
So you still think Dan Quinn's a good coach?
Dan Quinn's my coach.
Yes or no?
As long as he's my coach, he's a good coach.
So you still think Dan Quinn's a good coach?
Yes, because he's my coach.
Oh, brother. What would it take for you to not think he's a good coach? Just firing him? Just Arthur Blank saying, "You got to go?"
If we finish under 500 this year,
That's what it'll take?
Probably.
Maybe.
Depending on how we
lose.
There's always
so many excuses. Oh, it's injuries. Oh, we're injured. We're banged up.
We're banged up that one year. I have no excuses this year. We're just learning. We got a young defense. We're learning.
Well, he's supposed to be a teacher. He's supposed to be the coach.
I know, but it takes some time to learn sometimes. Why do you think they make you stick in college for 4 years? You got to learn.
To get free unpaid labor.
That too.
To help bring in eyes on the TV and make billions of dollars. Okay, either way. All right, that was your number one loser to Falcons.
Yep.
My loser is number three. I went with Bill Belichick's coaching tree. Belichick's disciples, all 0-8 right now. Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien, Brian Flores, Joe Judge, all lost yesterday. All lost in, you know, kind of just bad fashion, too. Like, I mean, I guess the Giants fought a little bit and had a chance to win, but they lost. Lions blown out. Bill O'Brien blown out. Dolphins, I guess, hung around. But they lose the division game. All four of those coaches lost. They're all four, 0-8. Bill Belichick's coaching tree, bad. No good. Number two, I went with the Atlanta Falcons as the second biggest loser. I didn't think they were the biggest loser. They're the second biggest losers.
Hey.
And number one, I went with just healthy NFL players.
Yeah.
I just thought healthy NFL players. I mean, there's way too many injuries this weekend. They're my biggest losers.
A rough weekend. Oof.
Honorable mention to the guy that got knocked out by my guy, GMF.
Oh, yeah.
I've been telling everybody, that guy's a star. I've been telling everybody that guy's a star. I saw it from the first time I watched him in the ring. Superstar. Bet if he's fighting Hayden, you want to make some money? Take the under 1.5 rounds. I took the under 1.5 rounds.
I don't watch UFC.
He hasn't made it out of round one.
I don't know who you're talking about.
That's not true. He went to round two, his first fight, and then finished in like a minute.
Okay.
He dominated the guy, and then the first minute of the second round, they're like, okay, you're done. But it went under 1.5. But
yeah.
Second fight, he just got the guy tapping like 3 minutes. And then third fight, one punch.
You should start watching UFC, Hayden.
No.
I've watched it a lot less since like other sports came back, but that was a guy I saw was fighting. He's like, I'm firing up the app at 9:25 when he's fighting. Was able to turn it off on like 9:23. Or 9:27, excuse me. Time went backwards. Just quick
so
little.
So fast.
Quick little knockout.
Seahawks, Bruce Irvin tore his ACL.
Yeah, I think
just announced.
We had that.
Oh, we did? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. It happens to me too sometimes. Those are my losers. Belichick's coaching tree, the Falcons, and healthy NFL players. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call today is brought to you by our friends at Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. KraftAxeThrowing.com, located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Can't be in there after 11 o'clock. They were enforcing that, kicking people out.
We'll see. They're meeting today that may take some power away from the health department.
Yeah. Is that a thing they think is going to happen?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Because they're not elected officials.
Yeah, we have given a lot of weird power to this health board. Maybe take some of that back, I guess. All right, let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Cam, what do you got for me today?
I have something Michelob Ultra is doing.
Rolling.
Never mind.
Are they trying to give money away?
Maybe.
I respect the game.
All right, I got interesting inventions that won Nobel Prizes.
Ooh.
Okay, they did a virtual Nobel Prize ceremony. They did it virtually this year. It's the IG Nobel Prize. It's given out each year by, it's satirical. That makes more sense on why these inventions are so weird. But they gave out, they give out this award every year. Well, it's real inventions. It's just kind of like a satirical award. Like, they give people random prizes for it. So the ones that won this year included a knife that was made out of frozen poop that scientists, for some reason, actually made. Some Kent State University team, for some reason, they decided they were going to invent knives out of frozen poop, and they found the knives melted and deteriorated too quickly to be much of use, which doesn't surprise me.
Don't like this so far, Cam. Gotta
yeah,
be honest.
It went downhill.
Yeah, let's
once
just move
I
on.
Realized it was satirical.
Yeah, yeah, let's just move on. Tickets sell out in 10 minutes for this new fad, I guess. This new fad.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I don't know what the kids are up to these days.
The kids? I don't know if they're kids, but maybe like influencers. I don't know who's going to be on this,
no,
but there's a new
worse.
There's a 7-hour flight on Australia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Airlines. They're going to do a scenic 7-hour flight to nowhere. You're just going to get in the plane and ride around for 7 hours. And that's it. You take off in one place, you ride around for 7 hours, you land back in that same place. But tickets sold out, Draven, in 10 minutes. Flight to nowhere is very popular.
What's going on the plane during the flight? Is it like, you know, circus coming on there and entertaining me? Or what's happening?
Let's see. It's scheduled to depart from Sydney on October 10th and make a return to Sydney later that day, making absolutely no stops. You get low-level scenic views of some of Australia's most popular vacation destinations, including the Great Barrier Reef and the Uluru.
Ooh.
There were 134 seats. They're all sold. Tickets for the 7-hour journey were priced between $575 and $2,765.
Okay, sounds reasonable.
People clearly miss travel and the experience of flying. If the demand is there, we'll definitely look at doing more of these scenic flights while we wait for borders to open, said an airline spokesperson.
Is missing flying something people do?
I mean, I don't. But I don't fly a lot, so like it doesn't matter to me.
Huh.
It seems like they might sell drinks, Draven. No circus, though.
Seems like you're taking a lot of risk.
Yeah.
Just to go nowhere.
I don't know if it's a thing you're saying that you just want to do. Like I said, I don't know if it's influencers that'll be like, hey, look at us. We're on the flight.
We're going to nowhere.
Yeah, like just try to get maybe I guess the flight will have
Follow
Wi-Fi.
Follow my story live.
And the whole like scenic view, wouldn't that be harder in a plane than like a helicopter?
Well, they said they're going to fly low.
Okay.
Which I don't know how low they're going to fly.
That just sounds
oh, man. Last time I did
like
that in Jurassic Park 3, they crashed.
How low were they flying?
They were flying really low, and then they hit a Spinosaurus after they landed and then took off again.
I don't know how low they're flying. I don't think there'll be any Spinosauruses waiting for them.
You never know. It's Australia.
Jurassic Park 3?
Yeah, sorry. That was a weird reference.
Is that the one that was in New York or no?
No. None of them have been in New York.
Not New York, but California. Was the one in California?
That was the second one where the T-Rex gets brought to California.
Doesn't the T-Rex like look in a little girl's room or something like that?
Yeah.
That seemed like
a Well, it was like, no, it was like a
do
little
people,
kid.
Do people like that movie? Because I feel like that's really, really stupid.
That one, the second and third one kind of sucked, but
okay.
I liked them because I don't know, I like Jurassic Park stuff for some reason.
I just remember watching them as a kid and just thinking they were really stupid. Even as a kid, I thought those were stupid. Like, okay, there's dinosaurs walking around in California. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, they were trying to open a Jurassic Park on the mainland,
but
so they brought a T-Rex, and they didn't sedate it enough, so it woke up and broke out the boat.
I know everyone loves the first one, which I don't even really like the first one. I know I'm alone there. It's just never done it for me.
I love me some dinosaurs.
I've never
seen
Jurassic Park.
The first one?
I've just seen Jurassic World. I like
the new one with Chris
You've
Pratt.
You've seen the new one, but you haven't seen the old one?
Mm-mm. No, I don't
Jeez
think
Louise.
So.
I watched the new one.
You're going to be really confused in the next Jurassic World. They're bringing the original cast from the original one back.
I don't think you'll be that
confused. I like Jurassic World. There's two Jurassic Worlds, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, there's been a sequel.
Yeah, I watched both of them.
I like them, too.
The first one was better than the second one, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think everyone agrees.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go back to watch Jurassic Park, I guess, before the third one comes out.
So you know who these people are. They're very important.
They're scientists. I mean,
paleontologist.
I could probably piece it together myself, but
yeah, I feel like it's not one you have to watch for storyline purposes. The guy with glasses will be a nerd, and the other guy will be an adventure guy that's going to be like Chris Pratt.
There's an
version,
adventure
basically.
Girl,
and the blonde, his woman, right? Is that the adventure girl? Is she going to be? They're going to be back in it.
Yeah,
both
yeah. Sam
too.
Neill and whoever the chick's name is.
Yeah, I feel like we catch up to speed.
Okay, I'm not going to then again.
Although
it's
I like
a good
Jurassic
movie.
Park, I just
it's a classic. It was ahead of its time,
or like billions of years behind their time, depending on how you look at it.
Millions,
millions, not billions. Excuse me,
yeah.
Millions.
Dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they tell us. I don't really know how they would know that. They would just kind of take their word for it, you know.
You can kind of date. I'm not gonna get into the science.
Well, I mean, I know like the rocks and so they say we can, but like, can we?
I'm gonna trust science.
It's just made up science, though.
I mean, math is made up, but we still count and stuff.
Well, yeah, but like we get the answer.
I know, it's crazy how that works. It's made up and still works. It's insane. That blows my mind.
2 + 2, like we have 4 things. I mean, that's
exactly. But somebody just made that up.
Well, I mean, yeah, we assigned the number that this is 4, but like it's, you have 2 things, and you get 2 more things, you then have.
But think about like formulas. Formulas where it's get really crazy. Like you get all these wild formulas, and it somehow always works. Math is crazy.
Okay.
Go watch Jurassic Park.
Drives up next.